Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
You're listening to Morning Edition on 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Deborah Becker. The fate of U.S. military bases around the country is uncertain. Faced with the biggest troop drawdown since the Cold War and pressure to reel in defense spending, the Pentagon has sought a realignment and closure process in 2017. But that's faced some opposition in Congress. When Governor Charlie Baker returned from Washington, D.C. earlier this month, he said he spoke with federal officials about the importance of Massachusetts' 6 military bases. The governor said he's optimistic about the bases here, especially as the military increasingly relies on technology.
As all of this stuff has gotten more and more technologically sophisticated over the course of the past decade or so, what we do here, I think, becomes even more important.
4 of the 6 bases include the U.S. Air Force. The Secretary of the Air Force, Deborah Lee James, was in Boston recently for a conference about women veterans and to visit with Massachusetts members of the Air Force. We sat down and talked with her about women service members, the intersection of business and defense, and the long-term future of Massachusetts bases.
Well, first of all, I am very impressed with everything that I have seen so far in the state of Massachusetts. This is my second visit. My first visit was to Westover Air Force Reserve base, which has a very important mobility mission. Today, I'm here in the Boston area in part to visit Hanscom, which is a critical research development and acquisition location for us. Not been as yet to Barnes or Otis, but certainly the work of our F-15s at Barnes, which are standing watch for homeland defense purposes, very, very critical. And Otis has a very important intelligence, combat communications. So all of these missions are extremely important to us.
That's right. Otis is working with MIT, I believe, on a project to use drone technology, I believe.
Well, and one of the key aspects, I think, which is unique, I'll say, here in Massachusetts, is surrounding these 4 Air Force installations, we have just a multitude of academic and other talent.
So that is a big factor that's considered. When folks look at a base, they would look at the entire area. They would look at the technology. They would look at the workforce. They would look at other companies in the biotech field.
Absolutely. Yeah. I, for one, am one that's all about synergies. And when you can get multiple bangs for a single buck, that's all the better for us.
So Governor Baker's right to be optimistic.
I think it's a good thing to be optimistic, yes.
Let's talk about culture. You know, in a speech before Congress earlier this year, you talked about sexual assault, and there was also a recent case of a senior airman who apparently was going to be discharged, and she accused her chain of command of retaliating against her after she accused supervisors of sexual harassment and assault. As a woman, how do you deal with these types of complaints, and what do you do to address that?
First of all, I take it very seriously as I travel around the country and travel around the world, an appointment at each and every location that I always have, and I'm doing it here at Hanscom as well, is I check in with our SARC, our Sexual Assault Response Coordinator. So think of the SARCs as the frontline defenders on sexual assault. So they deal with victims. They also do training at different locations. They're the keepers of the statistics. They have good insight into which commanders are supportive of stamping this out and taking, a very hard line and having standards, and those which may be less so. So I always like to meet personally and privately with them to get a sense of what's going on. So here's my take, and this is largely from what the SARCs are reporting to me, is that we are turning a corner in the Air Force, that we're doing better. That doesn't mean we're doing well enough, but that we're doing better. Our numbers of reports, that is people who come forward and say something happened to me at some point in my life, those are up. The number of actual incidents year after year over year are down. So those two trend lines, we think, are going in the right direction. Reports means people are more comfortable coming forward and looking for help. Incidents means year over year, there are fewer sexual assaults. But retaliation is a big problem. And in my judgment, the greater piece of retaliation is among peers. It's the feeling that people get ostracized. When they bring this up, it might bring shame upon a unit, or this was the perception, and maybe the colleagues and friends don't treat you the same way. There have been indications of some retaliation officially, and those always get investigated and dealt with if that is the case. But our statistics show the greater issue of retaliation is among your friends and peers. And so we're attacking that head on with our training this year, how to approach these things.
In another issue involving women in particular, there was a recent story of two women who completed the Army's Elite Ranger Training Program, but it's unclear if they will be able to participate in ground combat. Are there areas of the Air Force where women are not participating right now?
Yes. We are the most open service of all the services, but we currently have 7 jobs closed to women. They tend to relate to the world of special operations. And so we, just like the other services, are in the process of putting in place standards. And these standards will be gender neutral. That is to say, they will apply equally to men and to women. They will be relevant to the job at hand. And I would anticipate going forward, once we have these standards in place, that we will likely open up all of those jobs to women. And then qualified women, just like qualified men, will be able to compete. And we'll have a wider pool of people to draw from in the future.
Mm-hmm. So it will be completely open, you think?
I am predicting that we will open our jobs. Of course, there is the provision that commanders can request waivers. So I'm waiting until all of these recommendations come to me, and then I will have the opportunity to recommend further to the Secretary of Defense. But based on what I'm hearing so far, I anticipate we're going to open more jobs to women.
How soon?
It'll be by the end of the year.
What about threats in the world right now for the U.S. Air Force?
I put Russia at the top of the list, given what has happened in the Crimea, given what continues to go on in other parts of the Ukraine. We have seen additional aggression in the air by Russian pilots and their bomber forces. It's one of the few countries that could be an existential threat to the United States because, of course, Russia has nuclear weapons. ISIL is up there as well as a top concern, and that's the one that people read about all the time. We are heavily engaged in the fight against ISIL.
But Russia over ISIL?
I put Russia at the top of my list, yes.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Deb, for having me.
Air Force Secretary Deborah Lee James. To hear our full interview, go to our website, wbur.org.